During the season of Lent, I've encouraged you to read the last several chapters of Matthew and his gospel. We've been unable to travel through all of them. However, next week we do come to the 28th chapter. But I'd encourage you to go ahead and read the 27th chapter. Our text for this morning, if you have your Bibles, is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. We're going to begin reading with verse 31, continue through verse 35, pick up with verse 69, and go to verse 75. But this is about Peter's tragic denial and ours. And I don't think that there's anybody's doubt that Peter is the favorite of all of our disciples. Without a doubt, one of the reasons that he's one of our favorites is because he's so transparent, he's so out there, he's so human and real that we can identify with him before we identify with any of the other apostles. And I want to direct our attention upon Peter's tragic denial and ours this morning. The Word of God, beginning with verse 30. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night all will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all others fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never forsake you." And all of the other disciples said the same. And then if you would turn over to verse 69. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You were with Jesus of Galilee," she said, but he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." And after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you were one of them, for your accent gives you away." And he began to call down curses on himself and swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word of Jesus that he had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Let us ask God's blessing. Father, open our eyes that we may identify with Peter in this passage. Prepare our hearts through these words to come to your table, to know and to taste your forgiveness and your love. Lord, forgive the ones who teaches for the sins of the one who teaches for their many, and point us to Jesus Christ. And him only, for we pray in his name. Amen. And immediately a rooster crowed. It wasn't the first time I'd heard a rooster's crow, but it was the first time that a rooster's crow made my skin crawl all over. It was the first time that a rooster's crow made my blood feel like ice water running through my veins. For the rooster's crow and the sympathetic look of Jesus when he passed by brought to remembrance the words that Jesus had spoken to me earlier that evening. "Peter, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Have you ever had your life flash before you in an instant? In that instant, my whole life since I met this wonderful friend, this man to whom I had attached all of my ambition, Jesus of Nazareth, flashed before me the day that I met him. My brother Andrew had been standing with John the Baptist, and they'd seen Jesus walking up the hillside John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, his cousin, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And my brother Andrew followed him. And he spent the afternoon with Jesus. And he came that evening to my home and he said, "Simon, we have found the Messiah. I want you to come and to meet him." So he took me to Jesus that evening. And Jesus walked up to me and he put his hands on my shoulder and he said, "Simon, son of John, from now on you shall be called Cephas. You shall be called Rock. Because you're going to be like a rock in your allegiance to me." How I loved him from that moment. If you read through the Gospels, there are four accounts of the apostles. In every one of those, I'm listed first, Judas listed last. Well, I was the first to confess that he was the Messiah, the Christ. We were walking in the district of Caesarea Philippi in the northern part of Galilee, in the shadow of Mount Hermon with its snow-capped peaks and the flowers in the valley below. As he so often did, Jesus was teaching us as he walked along, and he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" One of the disciples said, "John the Baptist," or "Moses," or "Elijah," or "one of the prophets." And then he turned to us and he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And the words came tumbling out of my mouth, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of God." Again, he came over to me, put his hands on my shoulder and said, "Simon, son of John, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Well, I was in the inner circle of disciples. One time Jesus took James, John, and I up onto a mountain. And as we got to the top of that mountain, Jesus became dazzling white, a bright light that's so bright that we fell on our faces. And when we looked up, there were two persons with him, Moses and Elijah. And they were talking about his death. And I said, as I'm always just blurting it out, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build one tabernacle for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." And that was the day that Jairus came and he said, "Jesus, you've got to come to my house. My daughter is almost dead. You've got to come and help her to get well." Again, James and John and I accompanied to Jesus. And as we approached the house, there was a crowd that came and said, "Jairus, it's too late. Your daughter is dead." But Jesus said, "Let's go." We went with him into that inner room where the child lay on the table. He sat down beside her, took her hands, and he said, "Talitha kume, arise, little girl." And she rose. And she was alive. She began to breathe. How I loved him. But most vivid in my mind at that moment, and at this moment, is the events of that evening. The whole week through which we had come had been an emotional experience from that day that Jesus rode on a donkey into the gates of Jerusalem, where the people laid down their coats and held palm branches and said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," to that evening where John and I prepared the Passover meal and we came in and Jesus washed our feet. And as we were reclining around the table, Jesus looked around the group and he said, "One of you is going to betray me." And then he took a loaf of bread and said, "This bread is going to represent my body, which will be broken for you. I want you to do this every time you remember it. Remember my broken body for you." And then he took the third cup, the cup of redemption, and held it before his disciples and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. I want you to, all of you, to drink of it." Emotion filled that room. And he said, let's go. And we walked out of the upper room to the gate and down toward the Brook Kidron, going to the Mount of Olives, to Gethsemane. And he turned to us and he said, all of you are going to forsake me tonight. For as the shepherd, the scripture says, the shepherd will be smitten and the sheep will be scattered. And I came up to Jesus and I said, Jesus, even if all of these other disciples forsake you, you can count on me. I'm your man. I'm the one who is allegiance to you is never failed. You can count on me. And again, Jesus came and with sorrow in his eyes, put his hands on my shoulder and said, Peter, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. For Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But when you are restored, strengthen the brothers. I've made a strong proposal that I would never forsake him. Some of you have made that proposal before. You've said, Lord, I am your disciple. I am going to follow you through the rest of my... I'm going to commit my life to you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to lead where you lead. You know, that night, I was trusting in my own strength, my pride. Jesus had earlier told us, I'm the vine, you are the branches, abide in me, and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. My brother Paul would write later, Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'd be put further to the test. We came up over the Brook Kidron into the Mount of Olives. Again, Jesus turned to James and John and I, and he said, I want you three to come with into the garden. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. And he put us by a tree and he said, pray and watch. And we watched him go into the garden and he fell on his face and we heard him praying and we began to pray with him. He cried out, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And we fell asleep. And he came over and he said, could you men not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, he went into the garden and prayed again. Again, we fell asleep. Again, a third time. Finally, he came and said, rise, the betrayer is at hand. And sure enough, coming up from Jerusalem, torches held by the soldiers of Caiaphas, led by Judas, who entered the garden, came up to Jesus, kissed him on the cheek, and said, hail, Rabbi. Friend, do what you must, Jesus told Judas. And immediately the soldiers grabbed him. And I took a sword from one of the soldiers and cut off the ear of Malchus, one of Caiaphas's soldiers. And Jesus said, Peter, put away your sword. I have more than 1,200 angels ready to come down and do my bidding at any time. And he picked up the ear and he put it back on Malchus. And everyone was hushed. And then one by one, all of the disciples began to run away. And I was there with them, running, running, running. Until all of a sudden, I began to think, what am I doing? I have pledged my allegiance to it. So I began to go back and I followed from a distance as they led Jesus to Caiaphas' courtyard. You ever followed Jesus from a distance? You started out saying, Jesus, I will follow you. I will make those vows that are necessary to join a church, to become an officer of the church, to bring our children to be baptized, to raise them to know and to love the Lord. Lord, I'll follow you, but we follow from a distance. And he says, watch and pray to us there in that garden. I followed from a distance. And you know where I found myself? I found myself beside the fire with the soldiers in the courtyard of Caiaphas. They had Jesus over in front of the Sanhedrin. And I could hear them yelling at Jesus. And I was standing there over the fire of the soldiers, cursing along with them, mocking Jesus. And all of a sudden, a young girl came up to me and said, "I know, you were with Jesus of Nazareth." "I don't know the man. I don't know what you're talking about." I moved over toward the gate in the shadows. Another girl came and said, "I know you were with a Galilean." I brought down an oath on myself. I said, "I don't know the man." Moving further away, a group of men came. "Hey, man, your dialect betrays you. You were with a Galilean." And I began to curse. And I said, "I don't know the man." And immediately, a rooster crowed. And the soldiers led Jesus by. And he looked at me. And it was as if he was saying, "Oh, Peter, Peter, what have you done?" Thankfully, I was restored several days later. Jesus forgave me, gave me a task. As you come to the table today, you profess your love for Jesus Christ. And Jesus says to you, "I love you, and I've given my life for you, and I want you to live for me." We remember that as we come. The deep, deep, deep love of Jesus Christ for us. Hymn number 477 in your hymnal. Let us stand. Be seated. Folks, before us today is set the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not the host here. The elders are not the host here. Jesus Christ is the host here. And this meal tells us above all else that Jesus loves us. Jesus loves you. If you're a believer in Christ, come to the table and partake of the feast that he has prepared for us. And as we come, hear the words of the institution as they're delivered by the Apostle Paul. "I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given blessing, he took it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And after they had supped, he took the cup, held it before his disciples, and said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink all of you of it. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you show forth the Lord's death until he comes.'" On the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and he asked the Father's blessing. And I, ministering in his name, ask the Father's blessing on what we do here at this table. Father, we thank you that you have prepared this meal for us to assure us that you love us and that you've given your life, your Son, that we might have redemption, that we might have freedom, that we might have life and life everlasting. Lord, I pray that you would transform these elements from their common use to a holy use and mystery, that as we come to this table, we may see the drama of our redemption. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. As a minister of the gospel, having asked the Lord's blessing, I break this bread. And as he has given it to his disciples, I give it now to you. Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. And if you would retain the elements till all have been served, that we might observe the Lord's Supper together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. Body of Christ broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. When they had supped, our Savior took the cup and held it before his disciples and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many. Drink ye all of it. For you're redeemed not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, shed from the foundation of the world. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. The blood of Christ shed for your sins, drink ye all of it." Let us thank God for this holy meal. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come and met with us here. By faith, we have partaken of your great love for us. We pray that that love may impel us in this week to a deeper spiritual life, to a greater devotion to you, to a greater love for others. For we pray in your holy name. Amen. The scripture tells us that when the disciples and Jesus left the upper room to go to Gethsemane, that they sang a psalm as they journeyed up that hill to the Mount of Olives. And as we have talked about Peter earlier, we were with Peter. We sing of that in our final hymn, "Were You There?" Hymn number 218. As you journey through Holy Week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bless you in all of your ways, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.